Hey guys, do you like heavy metal? Do you like video games, comic books, movies, theme parks, or even cool TV shows? We've got the place for you. Metal Geeks. Time to rock out with your geek out. Here are your hosts, Kerry the Metal Geek, Dave, and George. Geek it out, fellas.
Balls.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to episode number 115 of the Metal Geeks podcast. As always, I am one of your hosts. I am Kerry the Metal Geek, along with
George Tripsis.
And Brutal Dave here.
Via Brutal Skype.
Don't ruin the magic. They don't have to know that.
Well, it's true. In case there's any inconsistencies.
In case there's a problem, he's not. That's why.
Yeah.
Because he's not here.
Via Brutal Skype.
Dave's not here, man. But Dave is here.
He's here in spirit.
Dave is that's always right.
In
here.
In brutal spirit.
He's always here in my heart, man. So what do you guys been up to? It's been a little while. I know you had some big things going on.
I wouldn't call them big, but I was a little busy.
Yeah? Let's talk about that.
Justin and I, we got the Kickstarter funded. I don't know if we talked about that last time.
I don't think we did.
Yeah, so issue 2 got successfully funded.
Yay.
Yeah, and we were ecstatic and relieved and happy. And then literally that following weekend, we had to go to Brazos County Expo, Comic-Con.
Extravaganza
thing. Whatever. It's Brazos County Valley Comic-Con, I think is what it's called.
How was that?
It was pretty cool. I had a good time. I met a lot of cool people, a lot of fun, interesting people. Met some famous people, hung out with old friends. And
what famous people did were there?
Oh, man, you're going to ask me to name names.
Yeah.
Alan Oppenheimer was there, who was always fun.
Skeletor?
Yes. Skeletor, me! You know. Who else was there? The lady who did Jim, the voice of Jim. The lady who did the voice...
She's not a hologram?
No, she wasn't one of the holograms. She was the actual Jim.
Oh, wow.
And then the lady who did She-Ra. I don't remember her name either.
Oh.
Yeah, because that's, you know, how much of an asshole I am. The guy who created Howard the Duck was right next to us.
Del Myrick. I have a artwork from him right there.
Yeah, and Phil Ortiz, one of the original
Simpsons.
Yeah, one of the Simpsons animators was there.
That's cool.
Tom,
was he drawing Simpsons?
Yeah, he was. He would draw you as a Simpsons character for like $40.
Well, that's actually pretty cool.
Yeah, it's not bad. I wanted to do it, but I was like, I don't have the money to spend. Plus, I bought a few things while I was there.
Okay.
Tom Cook was there.
I don't know who that is.
He was an animator on He-Man, and he was also an animator for a few other Disney things. For example, like Roger Rabbit Toontime or Tummy Trouble.
Oh, one of the
shorts.
Roger Rabbit shorts.
Yeah.
And then I still have a VHS of that, of those.
I have a VHS of those too, all three shorts.
Yeah.
And then the guy next to him, I don't remember his name, but he was also an animator. They're like best friends, and they all worked on He-Man.
I'm detecting a time-based theme for most of these people.
Yeah, the theme of the show was very 80s. Like everything 80s.
I know that all of their artwork and everything has been that way.
Yeah, their artwork was definitely 80s.
And this was in College Station, right?
This was Bryan College Station. Yeah,
right.
Wasn't there some people from Stranger Things there too?
Yeah, the bully, the freckled bully, mm-hmm. and the girl who played his girlfriend in the show.
Okay,
were there? Fucking Mr. Belding was there from Saved by the Bell.
Mr. Belding was there.
Yeah.
Wow.
And
is he still really, really big?
Yeah, he's really big. Yeah. Tall and big.
Yeah.
Like, not like, he's kind of overweight, but I mean, he's a tall dude. He's taller than I expected. And they had Huggy Bear from Starsky and Hutch.
That's more 70s though, right?
Yeah, but I mean, the show ran into the 80s, so okay, I guess that makes sense. Huggy and
Bear, wow.
I think they had somebody from... Dukes of Hazzard, but I'm not 100% sure.
Eh.
Right. Eh. Who cares? And they had the cars from both shows there.
That's sort of cool.
Yeah, it's kind of cool. Huggy Bear was cool.
What kind of local artists were there besides you guys?
Yeah, we were there. I don't remember their names, but the guys who do God, that monkey comic book.
The monkey comic book?
God, they were right next to us, and I feel bad because I got a copy of their comic, and I just can't remember. It's like Artsy Monkey or something like Crafty Monkey.
Crafty Monkey.
That's what it's called. Crafty Monkey. Those
guys.
I
probably don't remember yours either, so it's okay.
Yeah, it's no. Well, actually, one of them is doing a sketch for our comic, which is pretty cool.
Okay.
In that case, you really need to know who they are.
Yeah, in that case, I really do know. I need to know who they are.
Step up your game, bro.
And God, there are a few other people that I didn't know, but Justin really knew really well. Like some guy named Pop Mahan.
Name sounds really familiar.
Yeah, he did like the Eternia comic book war, or the Eternia war, the comic book.
Oh, yeah.
And some other guy named Art something. He does really cool Superman stuff.
Art Balazar?
Nah, it started with a TH or something.
Okay, I don't know who it is then.
Yeah, but anyway, it was a fun show. It was really small. Unfortunately, there wasn't a lot of traffic at the show, so I don't know how well everyone did. We did pretty well for, you know, the amount of people that came. But overall, it was a good time. I had a great time. I was just happy that the thing was funded, and I'm just there to have a good time and meet fans and make new people. This weekend, though, we're going to Spring? We're going to another comic book store.
All the way to Spring, Texas.
It's right outside, not Spring, Texas. Seguin, Texas.
Oh, by Austin.
Yeah, toward San Antonio.
Yeah, that's true, huh?
Yeah. There's a comic book store reopening, and I wish I could tell you the name of the store, but I don't remember right
now.
This
is where we pause for time and effect. Well, while he's looking that up, what have you been up to, Dave?
Been working and reading and going to the Renaissance Festival a lot.
Oh yeah, it's your time of the year for
Renfest. I need to go sometime this year before it closes down. We're talking about maybe what...
I was thinking about going Thanksgiving weekend, yeah, because that's the Christmas time when they do everything Christmas.
That's also the last weekend of the festival.
That's the very last weekend, huh?
Do you think it's going to be super packed that weekend?
I never go that weekend. We have an art show that we do with Geekazoid that's that weekend. We're doing it again this year. So I've never been out. I've probably been out there on the Christmas-themed weekend before at least once. But apparently they're getting record numbers in attendance at the Renaissance Festival this year.
Right on.
So
that's good news. Yes, right?
We've been out there a lot. We went camping out there one time.
So when you camp out there, do y'all go like at tents and stuff, or do y'all like rent a camper, or do you own a camper?
We get tents. We have them. But yeah, we so. If you have not camped at the Texas Renaissance Festival,
I have not.
There's a couple of different ways to do it. There's the lame, quiet, boring way that we do, and where we set up tents, kind of secluded, more or less by ourselves. And then there's the much more grown-up version of camping at the Renaissance Festival. So basically, both of the campgrounds run together, but at one end of it, everything is much more tightly packed together, and they basically party there until like 3 or 4 in the morning, and you can hear them everywhere. Like we try to set up camp as far from them as we can, just because of the noise, but we can still hear the party all night long over there.
You know, I wouldn't mind camping as long as it's inside a hotel room.
That's not camping.
I don't think that's camping.
Oh, well, then I'm not down.
What's the matter, man? You're not down with nature?
I don't know.
You're in a tent and probably in a sleeping bag.
Maybe, but I don't know.
And you can get a cot, so you're above the ground.
That's a big.
Do y'all use cots, Dave?
We use inflatable mattresses.
Oh, see, there you go. No,
like the really
bears.
We're in Texas, bro.
There are bears in Texas, and I guarantee there are some over in the adult side of the campground.
That's a different kind of bear.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I got what you mean now.
So we do that. We've been quite a lot this year.
Do y'all get like a season pass for the whole thing or?
No, I don't even remember if they do that or not. They might, because I know that there are some people that would definitely make use of it. Part of our thing is, my wife's good friend is battling cancer right now, and she was in the hospital last week, and it wasn't looking good, but she got cleared from the hospital, and in a kind of celebratory way, we all went to the Ren Faire again. We had already been on the weekend that she was supposed to go with us. That was the camping weekend. But she was in the hospital, so we went back again last weekend with her so that she could get out there and enjoy it as well. And what was really cool was the Renaissance Festival themselves, they actually knew what the situation was, and they gave us some free passes and stuff like that.
Oh, that's sweet. Nice.
So that was very cool of them.
Go TRF.
Do y'all like to like dress up and stuff when y'all go to the
No,
Texas
we don't.
Renfest?
No, but what I will do, though, is I try these little experiments. I wear a different heavy metal t-shirt out and see what kind of reactions I get. And this shouldn't be a surprise, but I get the most reactions from my Blind Guardian t-shirts by far.
At Ren Faire? No way.
Yeah. No surprises there, right?
Why is that a surprise?
Because it's power metal. It's epic power metal, and it's
basically
it's very Renfesty.
Very Renfesty.
Oh, okay.
You know, last year, you know, a lot of people go in costume and cosplay a little bit there too. But the girl that was dressed up as a Dreamfinder from Journey into Imagination from Epcot with her little Figment doll.
I remember her.
That was awesome.
She does that every year.
Does she?
I think so.
I went up to her. I was like,
I've definitely seen it before.
She's like, "You're like the second person who's come up to me who even knows who I am." I was like, "There you go. I'm a geek that way."
You're a super geek.
I am.
Unfortunately, when we went to Disney, not unfortunately, we did go on the Figment ride.
Yes, we did.
Yeah, that was a fun, okay ride.
It's okay.
It's like a mandatory ride.
It's mandatory. It's not as good as it used to be. Better than it was after they redid it once, and everybody's like, "No, fuck this. You got to put it back." So they compromised, and now it is what it is now. There's never a line for it, actually. The second time we
was there a line when we went?
No, there was no line. We walked right on.
Yeah, that's what I don't remember.
When
a line.
I went with just my wife, my wife. There was like a 10-minute wait for that ride. It was like unbelievable.
It's a always moving ride too, yeah. Which is weird.
Well, it moves in segments, so it was like five cars and they go.
Oh, I guess
and,
so. Yeah, it's a show.
But if it wasn't for that line, the custodial guy that came out, he's like, "Oh, you're wearing your birthday pins and your anniversary pins." Buttons. If you go over to the cool spot, you get a free icy. We're like, all right,
free so shit all
I guess
the way.
That line was worth something, right? Free shit.
That's how Disney makes it worth your while.
That's right.
Yeah. Oh, if anyone cares, we're going to be at Black Forest Comics this weekend.
Black Forest Comics,
yeah,
in Seguin, Texas. So if you're in the area, go check it out.
Totes.
What time?
From noon to 5, I believe.
Oh wow. That's very cool.
Yep, that's what it will be. They're having a grand reopening, if anyone cares.
Grand reopenings happen all the time, I hear.
Yeah, they do. Especially in your case.
Maybe. So recently, there's a couple of things I wanted to talk about, what I've been up to.
What have you been up to?
I rented a game from Redbox on Friday.
Do they still do that?
They still do that.
And they're not cardboard games when you get them?
No, they're in a little plastic.
It was a joke, container. Dude.
I don't get your joke.
Anytime I ever rented a game from Redbox, it's always been like a picture of a game or a cardboard cutout of a game. It's never been really the game in the box.
Why is that?
Because people steal the game.
Oh. From Redbox?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like they steal the disc and they put the box back and they think it's been returned, but inside the box is just the cardboard.
Oh, I didn't know that. People do that shit.
Of course people do that.
People are douches. But moving on.
People are evil.
I rented... this looked like a lot of fun. It's Call of Duty Infinite Warfare.
Is that the one in space?
Yes. It's a very science-fiction-based game.
I hear it's very fun.
It was an amazing game. Okay, so here's what I'm going to say about it. It's not a Call of Duty game for science-fiction fans, sci-fi game fans.
Why is that?
But it's a sci-fi game for Call of Duty fans. because there was a lot of the game that was still very Call of Duty like. Even the, some of the weapons.
It's a Call of Duty game, so that makes sense. Yeah.
Even though some of the weapons were futuristic, they still felt the same. Some of them played the same. It was very much of that Call of Duty style level progression. But I got to tell you, this game did some really amazing things. The there's a lot of outside in space where you're fighting, and there's a grapple. You can actually grapple people that
you're fighting. Yeah, I saw that in the trailer. Space.
And you can either break their neck or you cut their suit and they explode.
Oh, wow. That's kind
of
cool.
Yeah, there's a lot of cool stuff. And then the space fighting, the actual spaceships, a lot of fun.
Okay.
I think it's...
Are you going to buy it?
Well, I beat the campaign. So? If it ever gets cheap, I would probably buy it and play
Black Friday's
again.
Coming up.
Yeah, I might.
What about Battlefield 1? Have you played that?
I have not played Battlefield yet. But... Call of Duty Modern or Infinite Warfare, there's some cool stuff in that game. I mean, some of the levels were really cool. There's one level where you're on an asteroid, and there's like a hidden base on the asteroid, and you're near the sun.
Do you have to drill into the asteroid to save
it
from
Earth? No, you don't
have
to. It's not. Doesn't go that far. No Bruce Willis involved. But there's a section to the level where if you go outside and you're out there too long, it gets so hot you just die.
Hot from what? The sun?
The sun. You're so close to the sun, it's like 900 degrees.
Oh, well, that makes
sense.
And
you actually have to like progress through the level.
Do you explode or something?
Yeah, you just explode.
Awesome.
And there's some cool, a lot of fighting robots, like humanoid robots. So very Terminator-like. There's this one level where the I don't know what it was about it. The atmosphere, the music, just...
The space?
It felt very much like Alien.
Did it feel like...
Call of Duty's always...
Go ahead.
Call of Duty's always been very good at making their games cinematic.
Oh, yeah.
So you've got that.
I've always enjoyed them. I think they're fun.
It's an amazing cinematic, narrative-driven experience.
I can imagine what the online gameplay would be like.
What's that?
I wonder what the online gameplay would be like.
Yeah, I'm not so much into the online. I don't have that time. But I did play some of the zombies. That's included in this game?
There's zombies in space.
Well, no, it's not in space. You know, so every Call of Duty game has their...
It's a zombie map.
Zombie levels, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So this one, it's basically you're in a theater and you meet this guy who's played by Paul Rubens, of course. And
Paul Rubens.
And he has some kind of magical amulet that pulls the four characters into the movie screen as he's recreating these old 50s or 80s like horror movies.
So it's Last Action Hero.
Yeah, but like horror. Yeah. With like zombies and shit. Yeah, it's really cool. And they even play like
they made a sequel to Last Action Hero that would use zombies.
Yes, they would. And there's a lot of 80s music involved, so it's pretty cool.
Cool.
I mean, if
is it's, that the it's only game you've been playing recently?
I just started playing Mafia 3.
Oh, yeah. Tonight, you bought that,
basically.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I bought it used at GameStops.
The GameStops.
You watched a little bit of it.
Yeah, it looks cool. I've heard good things. The story's great.
The story has been great so far. It's sort of... it's done in, like, a flashback. So, like, the main game is, like, flashback about stories.
It's what I saw, it looked like a documentary.
Yeah, documentary style. There you go.
Yeah.
The gameplay, it's a little wonky, still.
Well, it's a Mafia game.
Yeah, but
it wouldn't be a Mafia game unless there's
big, wide open world in the...
version of New Orleans.
Set in 1968 in a fake version of New Orleans.
Right.
There's a lot of racism in the game, a lot of that kind of stuff, because they even say in the beginning of the game, like there's like a screen that pops up that says, we have to portray this in the truest and the realest sense possible. We apologize if you get offended, blah, blah, blah. It's just the way it was. They say bad words a lot, you know what I'm saying?
They say the N-word.
They do.
Is what you're trying to say.
But the music actually is pretty cool in the game because they use a lot of 60s.
It has all
music.
60s, pop 60s songs.
No monkeys, though. I was upset.
Yeah, well, were they popular?
Yeah.
Were they?
Yes, they were.
I guess.
They were. They outsold the Beatles at one time.
There's
no Beatles in the
game. Is that when
either.
The Beatles went on hiatus?
No.
Oh, okay. Because that would make sense.
Then Sgt. Pepper's came out and like blew him out of the water. But,
oh, yeah. That's when no one understand what the fuck they were doing.
I mean, there's like the Rolling Stones in there.
Jimi Hendrix. I heard
Jimi Hendrix. And the God of David is on there a lot. And then, you know, a lot of 50s, you know, Supremes, you know, that kind of stuff. You know, the...
it makes sense for where they are and the era. Yeah.
But if you guys, Black Friday's coming up. If you find this game, I think Target's going to have it for like $30.
Yeah, I'm going to probably
pick
it up.
Just read that. It's worth playing through. I mean, it's going to be a long game, so you're going to get your money's worth, you know?
I think it's like a 30-hour gameplay.
It's a fucking long game, dude.
Is it?
30 hours?
Okay.
I mean, Call of Duty Infinite Warfare was only 6 hours.
Oh, okay. Well, so, but that's mostly an online game, though.
Well, yeah, but single player. So Titanfall 2 is only supposed to be like 5 or 6 hours, so...
That's retarded.
Yeah.
They should make that into like a Mafia game.
So, Dave, I got a question for you.
Yeah.
You got a PS4, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Are you going to pick up the remastered version of Skyrim?
You know, in my recently limited video game playing time, I've actually been playing through Skyrim. And I don't know. I mean, it's not that I don't enjoy it. It's just that I don't know that I really need...
A remastered version?
I don't know that I really need it.
Mm-hmm. You probably don't need it.
How many times have you played Skyrim, Dave?
I have never finished the main quest line, which is part of what I'm working on.
Oh, okay.
But that's the whole thing, is I've logged across all Elder Scrolls games, I have logged... I don't know, probably thousands of hours.
Not trying to tempt you or anything, but this will be a $30 game at Target on Black Friday.
Okay. Well, I'll be busy on Black Friday, so that doesn't help me at all.
You'll be busy being brutal and black.
Brutal and avoiding black metal.
I'll be busy being a hipster with the rest of the hipsters at the hipster show.
Selling
things.
You can still be brutal and hipster at the same time. It's okay.
It's true.
just change your hat.
Yeah. Dev Heaven proves it every day, right?
Yeah. Not very well, though.
But anyway, I don't know. It'd have to probably be something that I got well down the line when it was pretty cheap and everything. I'm actually a little bit more interested in, like, the BioShock remaster stuff is a little bit more interesting to me.
That's actually really good.
Yeah, part beautiful. Of the reason I'm interested in that is for the DLC for BioShock Infinite. I never played any of that.
Actually, I have not either. I just started playing it when we got the remaster of it. There's one more thing I want to talk about that I watched. I've been catching up on some TV shows, that kind of thing, like Last Man on Earth this season. But I watched a documentary on YouTube, actually. It just came out on YouTube for free, called The Dream Finders. And I think
do they find dreams?
They do find dreams.
Where do they find dreams?
In Disney World.
I knew it.
How did you know? So, Dave, this is something you probably really, really into. It's available for free, so if you guys are out there, check it out. It's called The Dream Finders. A local filmmaker... Just, you know, basically, here's what I'm going to say about it. I'm not a huge fan of the way it was done because what it is...
So you're saying it's shit?
No, I'm not saying it's shit. I didn't say that. actually, no. So the filmmaker interviewed a bunch of people and hung around with these guys in the parks, podcasters and video vloggers that are based in the Disney universe type of thing. So the guy that really got me into becoming a podcaster, the very first podcast I ever listened to was called Inside the Magic with Ricky Briganti. And I was like, man, I could do that for metal. And that's where it came from. But he's one of the guys featured in the movie. Lou Mangiello, one of the most prolific Disney podcasters. Actually, I just ran into him while we were there a couple of weeks ago. And a couple other people. But actually, Ron Schneider, who was the original Dreamfinder, who in the park, he would come out there.
Isn't that an actor?
It is an actor, yeah.
Rob Schneider?
Not Rob Schneider, Ron Schneider.
Ron Schneider.
Ron Schneider.
Okay.
Not that you can do
I misheard
guy.
That, too. And I was like,
But, I mean, it's a short and sweet little documentary about people's love for Disney and how they've sort of made careers.
How come they didn't interview you?
Because they haven't made a career out of it. Pretty much.
You saying you can't make money on podcasting?
I personally cannot. but maybe.
It's a joke. I'm sorry. Right. It's a bad joke, but it's a joke.
But it's cool. I think you would like it, Dave. It's a, it's, you know, it's a fun little watch.
It's an hour long on YouTube.
An hour long on YouTube. The YouTube for free.
Added it to my watch list as we speak. So.
Yes.
Dream Finders.
The Dream Finders, yeah. That's right.
One word, two words?
One word.
Right on.
Because Dream Finder from Journey into Imagination.
Of course. Yeah. That makes sense.
So I think we need to get into our sponsors, and then we have a cool topic to talk about. We all saw the same movie.
Bam!
And we're going to talk about that.
Did you know that it's Carl Sagan's birthday today?
I did not know that. The stars did not tell me.
Who's Carl Sagan?
Yep. So did you, I thought I'd point that out.
Who's Carl Sagan?
Did you just ask who Carl Sagan was?
I just did.
Dave, do you want me to say it?
Oh my God.
Get out.
Get out.
Dave's not even here. He can't say that.
I said it for him.
Who is it? Clarify.
Carl Sagan was the original host of the original Cosmos series and was an advocate for the sciences in kind of... He was kind of an ambassador, you would say. Ambassador for the sciences.
He was what's the guy's name?
Neil deGrasse Tyson?
Yeah, Neil deGrasse Tyson.
He was basically the Neil deGrasse Tyson of his time.
Of the 70s, right? Or the 80s, was it?
The original Cosmos, I think, was... It was late 70s or early 80s. I don't remember which exactly.
But he's no longer with us, is that correct?
What's that?
Carl Sagan is actually no longer with us?
No, he passed away in 2006, I think, is when he passed away. No, it was 1996. I gave him 10 extra years for some reason.
That's okay.
But yeah, 1996, he passed away. But yeah, it just so happens that I'm actually finishing up a book of his today. I did not plan that, but that's how that happens. But anyway, Sagan was a highly influential voice, advocate of the sciences in the kind of public arena, and was very much behind a lot of projects. He was involved with some of the Voyager missions and some of the other NASA missions. And he was also part of the SETI, the Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence, and all that kind of stuff. And he wrote and spoke prolifically about the importance of the sciences and stuff.
If you haven't watched the original Cosmos, it's great. Even the new one is actually pretty good.
I've seen the new one.
Yeah. The Neil deGrasse Tyson space machine flying.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Yeah, it's cheesy.
So we got to say happy birthday, Carl Sagan.
Indeed.
Indubitably. So let's move on to our sponsors and then our topic of the week, and we'll be right back. So we have to talk about our sponsors real quick before we move on.
I guess if we have to.
If they're paying the bills.
Are they, though? Are they?
Part of the bills.
Part of the bills.
We definitely want to thank everybody who has supported our sponsors, thereby supporting us in the interim.
Yes.
Thank you.
Supporting the sponsors is supporting the show, and we love you for it.
That's right. You know what else would love you for that?
If you keep buying more stuff.
That's a really bad segue, but your ears would love if you supported our sponsors, too. You want to know why?
Because of TweakedAudio.com.
I got Tweaked Audio headphones in my ear now.
Because we're here Skyping with Dave.
That's right. That should be the name of the show.
Skyping
with Dave.
So, Dave, what kind of headphones are you using right now?
Tweaked Audio.
Tweaked Audio? Where do you get those at?
TweakedAudio.com.
No shit.
No shit. If I wanted to save some money, could I do that too?
Totally, you could.
How?
You go to the website at tweakedaudio.com, select your favorite pair of headphones for your ears, and then when you go to the checkout, type in Metal Geeks. You'll save 33%, and you'll get a lifetime guarantee.
You should see the shit-eating grin on his face. It's pretty funny. But you are correct, sir. If you put in the code Metal Geeks, you will save 33% off your entire order, free shipping, and a lifetime guarantee.
I forgot the free shipping part.
That's right. And I like I say, I'm not only a member I'm the president, too, of... No, I'm not. Not
president of Tweaked Audio. You're president of TweakedAudio.com? Why are you here?
But I do use their products every day of my life. That's the truth.
Sort of.
No, it is the truth.
You don't use it the shower.
But I use them when I go walking in the morning.
There you go. I guess you do.
I use them at work.
Yeah. Do you?
Yes, I do.
I don't know. It's kind of like a sweatshop over there. I don't know if they would allow you to use headphones.
Oh, hey. Hey now.
But you digress.
My headphones?
I digress. TweakedAudio.com.
Yeah.
Type in Metal Geeks. Get your 33% off. Free shipping and lifetime guarantee.
That's right.
TweakedAudio.com. Dip into some strange. Or,
dip into some strange. You gotta come think of better than that. Dave, what you got? Let's get strangerous.
Oh. Da-da-da-da. Man, that should have been the theme song for that movie.
Right?
I got nothing after that.
Let's talk about the movie. This is our main topic of this episode.
Yeah, let's get into some strange.
Get into some strangeness here.
I'm actually current on this one. I've actually seen something.
Woohoo!
Yay!
We're all on the same page for once, which has never happened.
No, it's
never happened.
So, when did you see it, Dave?
I saw it the day it came out, on Friday. So
I saw it on Thursday.
I saw it on Thursday, too.
Saw it at one of those fancy reserve your seat theaters and all that.
Oh, yeah.
I thought every theater does that now.
Not all of them. A lot of them do now.
I haven't
did
been to
Did you have a recliner at your theater?
I mean, not like the kind I know that you go to where it leans like way back.
Oh, yeah.
But they were pretty comfy seats, though.
Awesome. Did you have popcorn and icy?
No. We had just gorged ourselves on other stuff prior, so we weren't very hungry.
You did it wrong then.
I saw it at Santico's.
Yeah? Santico's is good.
Yeah, it's okay. I'm not a huge fan of the screen there, but there's never a crowd.
Yeah, the theater that I go to, the AMC Fountains over here near me, it seems like they always put the new movies on this one screen that has a big fucking blemish on it.
Yeah, same thing with Santico's. There's a big blemish on the white screen. You can see it when they cut to white, and it's fucking annoying.
Yes, exactly.
They need to get a new screen.
They're not going to spend the money on
it. No, they're not.
But anyway,
we digress. Back to Marvel, Doctor Strange, featuring ex-Benedict Cumberbatch.
Ex-Benedict.
Ex-Benedict Cumberbatch.
So, really quickly around the table, what did you think of the movie?
Dave, you go first.
I enjoyed it. It was not perfect. I don't think it's one of the best Marvel movies, but I feel like it is leading towards a character and events that I'm going to enjoy more in the future. So I feel like it was an okay setup. My knowledge of Doctor Strange is fairly limited. Basically, what I know is his origin story, so this was basically just covering familiar ground for me.
Can I say something?
Yeah.
You just said everything exactly what I was going to say. Did we just become best friends?
I thought y'all guys always been friends.
Is your name is your mom's name not Martha?
No.
Why'd you say that name?
No, dude, seriously, everything you just said is exactly how I'm feeling about that movie. I mean, it was a good Marvel movie. It's not my favorite. It's not anywhere in the top 10, maybe.
I think it comes close to my top 10.
I want to see it again, I think, in the theater, maybe like in 3D IMAX, because that movie sort of cries for that type of treatment.
Well, here's my thing. I enjoyed it. I think it's fun movie.
No, it's definitely fun.
It's a very by-the-numbers, Marvel's by-the-numbers. And I just kind of wish this one would have been different. I kind of wish this wouldn't have been an origin story. I kind of wish we would have got, like, right in the middle of, like, Doctor Strange trying to be Doctor Strange.
And you have to preface everything, because they're introducing magic.
But they could have done it differently,
universe.
Though. They could have introduced his backstory a little bit in quick snippets, in quick five-minute interludes.
But it wasn't too long, though. I mean,
it felt very uneven. We had a very strong origin story. Where he's like, how do I get from here to there? That's very great. But unfortunately, when he gets there, it's too fast, and we don't really get that, oh, how did he become fucking Supreme Sorcerer all of a sudden?
I felt very similar on that point, at least.
Yeah, he did become, all of a sudden, he was like Supreme Sorcerer, like, quickly.
You're I get it.
How long did that take for him to do that?
And, like, the time of the movie, I felt like they wanted you to feel like he spent a long time in wherever the fuck he was, in Nepal. It didn't correlate that very well in the film. And also another problem, I feel like they tried really hard with the comedy. They really forced the comedy in this.
The whole Beyonce and the one word.
They really tried to make it funny and kitschy like Guardians, because that's what Guardians had, that little upbeatness to it. And I feel like they tried to tap on that, where I think if they would have played it a little bit more straight, it probably would have had funnier laughs.
I don't think they reached for that Guardians of the Galaxy.
I felt like it at times.
Kitschiness level. I don't know.
Although, my favorite part of the whole movie is the end. Like, say what you will, the bad guy in this movie sucked. Yeah. Like, the dude with the purple eyeshadow.
Cathelius, whatever.
Mads Mikkelsen, whatever that guy played. I don't remember his name. His character was pretty weak.
I'll agree with that. But he's really only there to set things in motion.
Really, yeah. Really, are we there? The whole movie, the whole point of the whole movie was to find out that thing, the Eye of Agamotto, is a time gem, and the dude who's his like sidekick ends up being his, you know, arch enemy.
That's right.
That's the whole point of that movie, and it could have been done a little bit better.
And Dormammu was pretty cool, though.
Dormammu, that was my favorite part of the movie, where they kill Doctor Strange over and over again.
Yeah, you know who the capturer person was for Dormammu?
Yeah, it was Ex Benedict.
It was Benedict Cumberbatch.
Ex Benedict Cumberbatch.
So he fought himself in the movie.
Not the first time.
No.
He did something similar for The Hobbit.
Did he?
Yeah, he did the voice capture for the dragon and shit.
Yeah, he was the dragon, but, I mean, he didn't fight himself in the movie.
Oh, all right.
See what I mean?
See what I mean?
No, I'm talking
about. Nah, mean. Nah, I mean. The Thor gag, I guess we can go in spoilers here.
Everybody's seen it, right?
Spoilers!
If you haven't
anyone.
Seen it,
we're spoiling the strange out of it.
There you go.
So, the mid-credit scene was pretty cool. And then, but it felt like it's definitely a scene from Thor Ragnarok, right? Kind of like what they did with Ant-Man, and they had that Civil War scene in there. It's definitely like that, right?
Yeah, I like what Dave said. I'm excited that this character is now set up to be in future Marvel movies and into the universe.
Again, it would have made a better film had it started out that he was already Doctor Strange, and then he explains to someone about his past.
Because my favorite Doctor Strange story was when he teamed up with Spider-Man.
Yeah, but that's everybody's favorite story. When Spider-Man teams up with Deadpool, it's fun. Or Spider-Man teams up with Wolverine.
In Spider-Man, there's something great about that team-up.
Well, because Doctor Strange plays it very straight, and Spider-Man always questions the shit out of everything with a joke.
Yep, pretty much, like you.
Yeah. I don't know what you're talking about. But anyway, it's fun. The effects are great. I just wish they kind of would have held the... you know how the movie opens with the Ancient One doing like the street turning and shit?
Yeah.
I kind of wish they didn't open with that. I kind of wish they would...
Marvel's Inception?
Yeah, Marvel's Inception. I kind of wish they would have saved that when Doctor Strange experienced it. Right. Then that would have been a little bit more spectacular, I think.
Doctor Strange going through, like, the cosmos and all the...
Oh, yeah, universes. It was, like, ripped out of a Steve Ditko or whatever.
Right out of something Steve Ditko drew. It was amazing.
I mean, it was pretty good. I enjoyed that part. The visual
very,
effects...
Very, very psychedelic 60s comic booky.
The visual effects alone is worth seeing in this movie. Mm-hmm. And I just... Like I said, I just feel like they would have not... You know, played it by the numbers. I wish I would have took some chances on this one.
I'm trying to think about what you were suggesting about not doing this as an intro, as an origin story.
Right.
And I'm trying to think about how well that would work for a character that is, like Carrie said, you're introducing magic into the MCU now.
Mm-hmm.
And... Do they need to lay down all of the groundwork for the magic? And I'd initially be inclined to say that they do, but they don't really establish a whole lot in this rules-wise for the magic anyway.
The only rules they establish is that you need a ring in order to open a portal.
Right.
You need a sling ring. That's the only magic rule that they fucking implemented. And that right. could have been, had they wrote it differently, like to like a character where he has to drag a non-magical person along with him to save it, or he needed that non-magical person, that could have been the audience's like hook into learning everything about this magic realm and learning more about Doctor Strange's past.
Yeah.
That would have been, I think that would have made a lot more compelling Doctor Strange movie.
Okay, let's talk about Benedict Cumberbatch as Doctor Strange, as Stephen Strange.
I thought it was, Benedict Cumberbatch is a great actor. And
he was supremely douchey in the beginning of the movie.
I think that's good, though.
Yeah,
I think it distances him. He's almost like Tony Stark, but just not as charming.
Yeah.
It's all the arrogance and a fraction of the wealth of Tony Stark. But yeah, like you said, it's all the arrogance but not the charm. I agree with that.
Also,
they are very much close to being the same type of character.
So, Catherine and I, we saw this movie together and she really enjoyed it, and she thinks it's probably going to end up being like one of her favorite Marvel movies.
Oh, well, she likes Harry Potter a lot, too.
I like Harry Potter a lot, too.
Maybe.
Yeah, it speaks to her, I guess.
I think that he could become one of my favorite Marvel characters as this goes along. There's a lot of potential for these
I think
characters.
The sequel would probably be much better. Just like Winter Soldier was much better for Captain America.
Yeah.
Anyway, y'all all seen Star Trek, right? You all have seen
the new Star Trek?
The new 2000 J.J. Abrams Star Trek.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, so the composer of that film Michael Gacciano or whatever. Gacciano.
He did Lost, too.
And he did Lost. All right, so the theme for the new Star Trek is the exact same fucking theme for Doctor Strange.
I did not pay attention to that.
I heard it, and it took me out of the movie instantly. And me and Catherine, we were talking about it. And she's like, I don't hear it. You're crazy. I'm not crazy. I played it for her. And then I was right.
I might have to listen to that now.
I'm going
to
play it for you after the show, and you'll be like, fuck, you're right. And I know I'm right. So if you're listening to the show, and you've heard the theme of Star Trek, go listen to the theme of fucking Doctor Strange, and tell me if they don't sound the same. They sound the same
to
me.
I'll have to check that out.
Maybe he's a one-note wonder.
It didn't pull me out during the movie, but during the ending credits, there was some of the music that I was like, where have I heard this exact thing before? But they were playing it, they were running it through all of the, like, they were kind of doing the, like, the Indian stylized version of it.
Right, right. It's the same theme, but just with, like, different
right.
instruments kind of deal.
It was at that point during the credits where they're doing that to it that I was like, what is this? Because this is something else.
Yeah, it's totally the theme from Star
okay.
Trek.
I'll have to look into that. My wife said she thought that it reminded her of the Harry Potter theme, and she pulled that up. And there are some similarities. I will admit that.
Very whimsical, but dark at the same time.
Okay.
So yeah, I'm gonna have
sure.
to look into this
yeah.
Star Trek.
There's
thing.
A guitar in it. Does that make it dark?
Yeah.
Okay.
Dark guitars make it dark.
So anyway, what did you guys think of Dormammu?
Wasn't as bad as Galactus in the Fantastic Four movie.
I thought he was interesting. I think he was a cool character. I don't think they did enough with him.
Mm-mm.
And they definitely didn't feel scary or end-of-worldish. But on the plus side, no beam of light from the sky.
That is true. There was no giant light going into the sky in this movie. That is definitely going for it.
So, thumbs up for them not doing that.
I did think the fight scene with Dormammu was pretty funny.
It's the best thing in the whole movie.
Yeah.
Besides the whole, like, buildings toppling over and Inception-y stuff. The trapped in that little time thing and Doctor Strange dying over and over again is pretty fucking great.
You wear him down. That's what you got to do.
That's what you guys are doing to me. Is what it is.
Is that what we're doing? we can try harder if you want.
Oh, okay.
Recommendation for the movie? I mean,
totally see it. Yeah. Especially if you're a Marvel fan, it's definitely worth seeing because it sets it up for the next Thor Ragnarok film. And
which comes out
next year.
Early next year.
Yeah.
And so does Guardians 2.
Yep.
So I'll preview for that as well.
I think we're seeing, we're getting three Marvel movies very soon.
So we get Spider-Man next year, Homecoming.
Yeah, and then
we have Guardians of the Galaxy
2, and then Thor Ragnarok.
Yeah, so three movies next year.
Fuck.
Wow.
And then not to mention all the fucking Disney movies, or Disney and Star Wars movies.
Yep. Just drill right into my wallet, guys, because you're doing it.
Let me just give you my wallet.
Can I just send my paycheck over to you, you know?
What did you think of the ending scene, Dave? What did you think of the bad Dormammu at the end?
I enjoyed it. I felt like that was an interesting way to deal with the character, especially given that the whole dynamic there is the timelessness, the eternity.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of kind of, I don't know, philosophical or theological ideas about why immortality would be a bad thing. And that's part of it, is this like interminable nonsense.
How long do you think Doctor Strange was in there for?
I don't know. Because
he died a lot.
Yeah.
That you'll have to do like a Groundhog Day with it and count it all up. And
it was like Marvel Groundhog Day.
Also, what did you guys think of the what is it? The what of levitation?
The cloak of levitation.
Cloak of levitation. What did you think of that?
It was weird that they gave it a little bit of, they gave it a, they made it a character.
Yeah, well,
they gave it,
what I understand
it was like the
is
comedy relief.
The producers watched Aladdin's magic, Aladdin
the
a
carpet,
lot, and they studied the magic carpet, and they
makes
used
sense.
That to animate the cape. Cloak, sorry, not cape.
The cloak, yeah.
I like the part where he was like crying and the thing wiped his tear for him. I thought it was funny.
I liked when it was.
I mean, at first it was a little cheesy, but it was fun.
What were you going to say, Dave?
I like when it was like beating the guy's head into the ground. Like,
oh, repeatedly. I thought that was great.
Yeah.
I laughed my ass off. I think the cloak should have his own movie.
But hey, by the time they're
they
done.
They need more Marvel movies, so.
It could be like a Marvel one-shot, like the...
Oh, and they can get Dagger, so it would be Cloak and Dagger.
But, psst.
Yeah?
No?
There's supposed to be a Cloak and Dagger TV series, wasn't there?
I think that got canceled.
Speaking of, have you seen the preview for Legion that's coming out?
I have. We talked about it on the show.
I just saw a new commercial a couple days ago, and I was like, wow.
Yeah, it's going to be on FX.
Yeah. Like in February?
Yes.
Something like that.
Yeah, February or April.
Hopefully it's better than some of the last X-Men movies.
Sure. But anyway, back to Doctor Strange. You guys, what would you say? You think people should see it?
Yeah. I definitely think people should go to the theater and see it. I mean, it's a fun movie. It's not the best
Marvel. Is it worth your $12, $15, whatever it costs to go to the movie theater?
I want to go see it again in 3D IMAX. Ooh. And I usually don't say that very much. I don't really like that.
I thought some of the action scenes were kind of meh. Like some of the fight scenes?
Yeah.
I thought some of the fight scenes were kind of boring.
Well, he's not really a fighter, so...
Yeah,
he
I guess...
trained, but
he
trained,
yeah, he trained to be a fighter.
I don't know. I didn't write the script.
Sure.
But...
They should have took some more notes from Batman Begins. I think this would have made it a better film if they would have done that.
I did see the writer of this movie do some karaoke this year at Comicpalooza. Drunk karaoke.
Yeah?
See Robert Cargill?
Cargill. What else has he written?
I don't know. He wrote this movie.
This and something. I remember looking at his list and thinking, how the fuck did he get this job?
I don't know. People get lucky.
Yeah, I guess so.
What about you, Dave? It's going to do really well. It's definitely going into my collection when it comes out on Blu-ray.
Yeah, I got to fill out the MCU.
Is this the 13th movie in the Marvel Cinematic Universe?
Yeah.
Can you believe that already?
Yes.
Well, yeah. I mean, shit, how long ago did Iron Man come out?
When was Iron Man?
I think, 2005, 2006?
I think it's...
Now we got to Google
I
this
think
shit.
It's... Hmm. So,
I think it's it's like 2006 or 2007.
I remember when I first saw Iron Man in the theater, and it was blown away.
Yeah, it felt like they wanted to redo Iron Man.
Iron Man number one was 2008.
2008.
Yeah,
I was way off.
Wow, that's not even 10 years.
No,
8 years, and it's been 13 movies.
I churned it out. Well, they got that Disney money; they can do that.
Yeah, they do.
It started out with two movies, and then it mushroomed into this.
So, does this movie interest you more into the character of Doctor Strange? Would you go back and read?
Oh, totally. Actually, I was kind of thinking about like what would be a good comic to go back and learn more about this character.
I've heard people talking about recently. I haven't read it. I'm actually going to put it in to my read pile. There's a miniseries called The Oath, Doctor Strange The Oath.
Oast?
O-A-T-H. Oath.
Oath.
I have a lisp. I'm sorry.
I'm just making sure that's what you said.
No, yeah, yeah. But apparently,
not making fun of your lisp.
It's more of a recent series, so it's supposed to be pretty good.
From like some of the Marvel Now series, or
no, before that.
Okay.
But some of the direct scenes out of this movie, like where he's astral projecting while she's like working on him in the hospital.
That's
apparently out of the movie. I mean, out of the comic.
That chick was kind of pointless in the movie, wasn't she?
Well, she's one of the night nurses, like in the comics.
Yeah, I got that.
Yeah, and so her and like Rosario Dawson.
Yeah, but Rosario Dawson already got that thing covered.
Yeah, she is the night nurse.
Yeah, they don't need any more night nurses. It's not like we're gonna get a night nurse comic book movie.
I think Benedict Cumberbatch is. Or Doctor Strange, let's say that it's one of those characters that is low enough on the Marvel totem pole that could make appearances on the Netflix shows. You know what I mean?
I don't know. I think they're trying.
Daredevil for sure.
I think they're trying to make him into a high caliber character. It would be awesome to see him interact with Spider-Man, and also it would be cool to see him interact with Vision. How weird of a conversation that's got to be. And we already saw in the mid-credits that he's talking to Thor, and he gave him a hard time. Mm-hmm. But he also gave him beer that never ended.
The never-ending beer. I'll take that in a glass of whiskey, please.
And I think he's a fun, compelling character. I think Benedict Cumberbatch did a great job with him. I think it would have been a lot more interesting to see a different actor done it, just to see if it would have been a little bit more weird.
I don't know. I think Benedict Cumberbatch played the character very well. He played Stephen Strange perfectly in the beginning of it, and he played that awkwardness of...
Yeah, but wouldn't it have been cool to see Joaquin Phoenix play that role?
Oh, God.
I think Joaquin Phoenix would have done a great job.
I don't know if I can agree with you on that.
All right, I guess I'm alone in this. I think Joaquin is just weird enough and great actor enough to
Dave
do
Dave should like this because he called
I did.
How many years ago on this show?
Like one.
A year or two before they came out.
That Benedict Cumberbatch should be Doctor Strange.
Yeah, I made my bid for Joaquin Phoenix back then.
Yeah.
I still think it would have been...
You make your own Doctor Strange movie with Joaquin Phoenix.
Dude, he would be great.
Yeah, write your own fanfic.
Write my own fanfic.
The fanfic where the movie is recast. That's the fanfic.
Exactly right.
That's truly,
and it's an entirely different movie.
I think this is going to lead to a new segment. What if George cast your movie?
Maybe. It could be like a not-so-reoccurring segment.
What if?
I don't know. I just think it would have been a very different film if they would have had fucking Joaquin Phoenix play that character. Because originally he was the original... he was the guy that they were going for, and then all of a sudden, somehow somebody got ex Benedict Cumberbatch's telephone number, and he's like, "Hey, you free?" He's like, "Yeah, I might be interested." And then all of a sudden, he's like, "Yeah, fuck you, Joaquin. Go back to her." The movie Her that she did,
yeah,
where he's wearing like those really weird pants.
Mm-hmm. I know. Having sex with his phone.
Well, you know,
as you do,
as you do.
So to wrap it up, how many horns would you give this movie? Out of 10, how many horns?
You first, Dave.
God. 7.5, maybe.
Wow, that's high.
Yeah.
That's higher than I thought you were going to do.
What about you?
I was going to give it like a solid 6.
Okay. I'm not going to go as low as that, but I was going to give it a solid 7 horns.
Really? You're just as high as Dave.
That's not that high.
Okay, whatever.
7's just a little bit above mediocre, but not great.
6 is not bad.
Yeah, I guess.
It's like middle of the road.
It's like a C, like a D minus.
The only reason why I gave it a 6 is because it's like it had great visuals and visual effect, and I loved the ending.
6 horns, there you go. All right.
666.
We'd 6, 7, 7.5.
Oh, yeah, y'all fucked it up.
You fucked up the evilness.
Eventually, we're going to get a movie where we all say it's all 6, and it's going to be great. And Satan's going to appear, watch it with us on with popcorn. And
all right, so thanks for hanging out with us as we discussed Doctor Strange. And
here's your brutal movie review.
There you go.
So we're going to start a new segment this...
are we now?
...for the new show. I think we should. I think this is going to be a fun segment to kind of not only learn more about each other, but tell people what we're really excited about, what's coming out, and guess the title.
George Hates...
Everything.
Stuff?
It's
George Hates Everything.
Yeah, that's what it's called. You're exactly right.
No, what is this new segment called?
Working title, but I'm thinking calling about What's Tickling Your Little Geek This Week.
What's tickling your little geek this week?
Yes.
Why's it got to be little?
Well, we all know that's the truth. I mean, we don't have to lie to anybody. What are we
hiding
here? Why's
it got to be geeky? All right. I mean, we can give this a shot.
Yeah, give it a shot. So the whole point of this is let people know if there's like a new movie, a new show, book, whatever. Whatever you're excited about that's right. This week that all you're right. Looking into or that's coming up this week that you're super amped to watch.
All right. Let's try this.
All right. So...
it's your idea.
I guess I'll go
first.
I'll go first, right? I guess I'll go first.
You be the guinea pig.
So what I'm really excited about that got announced this week is Young Justice Season 3 finally got greenlit, and it's coming out. They didn't say...
Aren't they all Justice by this time?
So you're aware of the TV show Young Justice that was on Cartoon Network?
I don't think I ever really watched it, though.
Shut up. For real? You never watched it?
No, I will not shut up.
Yeah, I never watched it either.
Well, I mean... Don't shut up because this is a podcast. We need people
right?
to listen.
It'd be boring if I just shut up.
Yeah, but for real, you never seen it. Neither one of you.
Maybe not. You. What about you, Dave? No.
I haven't seen it.
Wow. And you call yourselves geeks?
Not DC geeks, though.
So there's the crutch.
There's my excuse.
Dude, you should totally give it a shot. At least watch the first two seasons. They're on Netflix.
Okay.
Very readily available.
Who's in the team?
Superboy. Robin, Martian, the girl Martian chick. I forget her name.
Okay.
Speedy or Kid Flash.
Kid Flash.
Yeah, Kid Flash is in there. Speedy is a reoccurring character who is...
Cyborg?
Uh-oh.
Cyborg is in the show.
Uh-oh. Young Cyborg?
I don't remember. But anyway, A lot of Batman rogues show up, and a lot of DC very memorable.
Is it kiddie based or is it more adult based?
It starts off very teenagery, but it gets really dark very fast, especially when it gets to the alien invasion part, because all the DC superhero Justice League characters disappear and then they come back, and you don't know where they went. So they spent that whole season trying to find it out, and it sucks because season 2 ends on a cliffhanger.
No Iron Man.
It's DC, bro. Oh,
sorry.
Anyway. Season 1 and season 2 are both great. And
How long has it been since they've had the last season?
I want to say a couple of years, if not a little bit more. But they announced that everyone's coming back, and season 3, if you want more information, you need to go to their website, which is yjs3.com.
YJS3. YoungJusticeSeason3.com.
Yeah, I had to think about it for real quick.
What is that? All right.
Yeah, so I'm super excited. They didn't announce what
Cartoon
platform.
Network type of deal?
I would assume so. Cartoon Network still owns the rights. I don't know if it's going to go straight to Netflix or if it's going to go on TV or if it's going to be on Cartoon Network Online. They haven't announced that part yet, but they did announce that it's coming out, and I'm a big fan of the show, and I'm excited that it's coming back.
Cool.
So there you go. That's what's tickling
my
little geek.
That's what's tickling your little geek this week.
Yep.
Interesting. I can go with mine real quick.
Sure, go ahead.
Early December, a video game that I've been waiting a long time to come out. It's finally coming out, and I'm going to play the hell out of it.
What video game?
Something we watched about 18 minutes of gameplay earlier.
Oh, okay.
On YouTube. We watched a bunch of gameplay for Dead Rising 4.
Dead Rising 4.
Oh, yeah.
This time, they're in a mall again, right?
They're back in the mall. I'm excited for this
game. It's
like
a Mall of America kind of place.
Yeah, it's sort of like a Mall of America. There's different themed area. They showed like a pirate theme earlier, which was pretty cool.
Oh yeah, that was kind of fun.
I'm super excited for this game. I love the Dead Rising series, and Dead Rising 3 on Xbox One was a good game.
I never played that one.
This looks to be even better.
I played Dead Rising 1 on the original Xbox. Mm-hmm. I don't even think it was a 360. If it was a 360,
that was it was 360.
Was it? I don't remember. Yeah, I remember playing it on my crappy tube TV in my dorm room in college,
mm-hmm.
and thinking, fuck, I can't read anything that they're saying on the text. This game sucks. And I remember taking it back. And that was about it. And I got tired of killing zombies after a while.
I downloaded the triple pack on my Xbox, so I have Dead Rising 1, 2, and then Dead Rising 2 Off the Record, which adds like a whole complete sandbox level into it, basically. So there's no time.
So there's no time limit or whatever, huh? Do you still play the photojournalist in 2?
No, you're a different character. You're Chuck Green. You're a motorcycle guy, like a
BMXer guy.
Yeah, like that type of guy.
Or a motorcycle.
Yeah, not like a not a Harley guy, but you know, like
a dirt bike.
A dirt bike.
A motocross guy.
Motocross. There is a word.
Yeah,
that's the word I was looking for.
All right.
Have you played any of these, Dave?
Have I played the Dead Rising games? I played the first one, and as soon as I finished the first one, I asked myself why I spent all my time doing that. And I felt like I was enjoying it until I was done with it, and then I was like, that was dumb. I'm not going to do that again. So, yeah, I didn't really.
So Dead Rising 4, not for Dave. Nah.
That's why I love it. I love it because it's dumb. It's just mindless zombie fun, you know?
Well, what did look interesting to me in the trailer is that they're introducing a new type of zombie, like the 28 days later zombie.
They showed different zombies, so now there's not just the regular zombie there in the game. So you have, they called them the Fresh. So it's like Zack Snyder
zombies.
Yeah, they were talking, the developer was talking about there's new... a new strain of the virus,
right.
Which instead of taking hours and hours for people to convert, it takes them like seconds.
Yeah.
And these fresh zombies, they showed like a cutscene. It's like 28 days later where they're super fast and super strong.
Or Zack Snyder's Dawn of the Dead.
Yeah, there you go. They said there was another one that they sort of, there's another version of the zombies that are smart.
Oh. So like Land of the Dead, George Romero's Land of the Dead.
Exactly right.
Are they slow and smart, or are they fast and smart?
I don't know.
Smart?
They didn't mention that. Because
if
they're smarter.
Fast and smart, it's kind of like that... what was that other zombie game that came out like last year?
Another zombie game?
Where you like do free running and stuff away from the zombies, and a lot of stuff happens at night. Left 4 Dead, I think that's what it's called.
Are you talking about Left 4 Dead? Yeah.
I think that's
what it's... That was not last year. That has been a long time.
It was like a recent version of it, or a new...
Are you talking about Dead Island?
I don't know. Maybe.
Maybe.
My coworkers
Was it a first-person shooter?
It's a first-person game.
It's Dead Island.
Oh, okay. Yeah, he's like all about that game.
Okay.
That's what that reminds me of. Except it's not first-person.
Yeah. This comes out beginning of December, so only a couple weeks. Around the same time as South Park, Fractured Butthole.
Oh, man, I forgot that game was coming out. I'm super excited about that.
Me too.
I will talk about that when that comes out.
Mm-hmm. I'm definitely buying it.
Me too. I'm going to probably see if they have a double pack so I can get the first one. I don't own the first one.
They haven't mentioned anything about remastering it or anything. Because that was on 360. It wasn't on Xbox One.
I'm pretty sure they're going to release a version that comes out on
the newer one. I'll play it again.
Yeah.
What say you, Dave? Do you have anything that's tickling your geek right now?
Yo, little geek.
No.
Because mine's not little, damn it.
My life has been Ren Faire and working and reading and playing guitar. So I,
there you go.
That's
I'm
deep.
I'm a little bit unplugged, I guess, right now. So
he's unplugging his tinglingness.
So what's your favorite thing being at Ren Faire this year?
There we go.
I know when we were there last year, there was a certain beer you were looking for. I remember that.
Yeah, the,
it was like the blackest of beer.
That's where Brutal Dave came from, because you were drinking beer so dark.
Yeah, it was the Black Plague at the Brigadoon Brewery.
Like your heart.
It's good stuff.
You know what's my favorite part of the Ren Faire? Is the where you throw tomatoes at the dude and he makes fun of you.
You were there for like an hour.
I was not there for an hour.
We were there for an hour, dude.
We did not there for an hour. You're over-exaggerating.
He made fun of you a couple times.
He did make fun of me a couple of times, because I stand out in a crowd. I'm tall and fat, so it's easy to point me out.
But what about this year? What's been your favorite thing so far?
Probably Saxon Moon again. I've watched them like several times a day. Each visit I've gone, I've watched multiple performances of theirs. So
every time I see them, I'm always surprised by their pyrotechnics. I don't know why.
It's weird. Last night at work, we stayed a little bit later to do some inventory stuff, and one of my coworkers pulled out his phone and started playing Saxon.
Oh, yeah?
I was like, all right. I feel like I'm back at the Ren Faire again, but I'm actually working.
So it's like soothing but stressful.
Exactly. Same time. How can that be?
So Saxon Moon is what he's super excited about. Do they have a new album for this year?
I think they do, actually. I don't know the name of it, but I'm pretty sure. I think they have something new that I don't have in my collection yet. So
now you have a reason to go back. What we should do is do a Metal Geek roundup at Ren Faire.
If we could all be there the same weekend again like we did last year.
Yeah, that would be fun.
Maybe we should interview Saxon Moon.
I could talk to Dave Ellis about it, and he might be interested in doing that. Maybe.
While they're playing is what we should do.
Yeah, while they're playing?
Yes.
Hey, tell me about your band. What, hold on, we're playing.
No, you need an answer now.
That'd be a fun, exciting interview.
Yeah, the last time we'll be allowed to interview
there. Are there any concerts coming up for you, Dave, that you're excited for?
One just came back to mind. I'd kind of forgotten about it. Dark mm-hmm. Tranquility is coming in December.
With Swallow the Sun.
Oh, yeah. That's going to be a cool show.
Swallow the Sun?
Swallow the Sun is one of my favorite bands.
I feel like I've heard them before.
If you've been around me, you've heard them before.
I feel like you've played them for me on the show.
I think I have.
And I probably shat all over it.
No, I don't think you hated it.
I didn't hate it?
No.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, have you listened to the new Dark Tranquility, by the way, Dave?
I listened to the first, like, 2.5 songs, I guess. I just haven't had a chance to sit down with it yet. So
it's good. It's very...
Dark and Tranquility?
It's not very tranquil, but it is pretty dark.
It's not very tranquil, it's dark.
You know... great mellow death, you know what I mean?
Yep.
I don't think I like it as much as like Insomnium or even Omnium Gatherum, but it's still good.
Yeah, I need to give it a minute, and even the part of it that I listened to, I was kind of distracted with other things and didn't give it the attention it deserves. But
yeah, I listened to it in the car one day. I'm like,
yeah, I'll try to have a better opinion of it in the future. There's been too much fucking good music this year, and I can't keep up with it all. So
we're getting ready to record an episode of MSRcast, and I just thought about it. I'm like, holy shit, it's already time to talk about what our favorite albums of the year have been so far. We got to start thinking about our favorite movies and our favorite games and shit. I hate it. It's stressful. It's a stressful time.
It's a stressful time to be surrounded with so much shit I like.
It really is. So All the Sun is actually opening up again for Amorphous in April. That I'm looking forward to. Who just got announced? Sabaton got announced.
Oh, yeah. I heard about that.
It's Scout Bar. Well, here in Houston, at least. And one of the bands opening up is a band called Sacred Steel, which is Tim Amar. Did I say Sacred Steel? I think that's it.
Somebody else playing with them too?
Twilight Forest?
Like the movie?
Okay.
No. If you've listened to the Metal Pigeon, Sean, on MSRcast, they're overly cheesy. Overly cheesy power metal. I think his sweet tooth couldn't handle it.
Okay.
Wouldn't it be his cheesy tooth?
No, they're super saccharine-y cheesy.
Okay.
And I usually love the fuck out of that stuff. So,
yeah.
So there you go. There is my segment.
So what'd you think? Do you have a good time?
I always have a good time.
Let me get that feather back. I don't want to tickle your geek anymore. Hey, do you know what time it is, Dave?
I think it's time for George Hates Metal.
I think so.
Boom.
We need like a good theme song for this segment now.
Is just like a quick guitar riff that says George Hates Metal.
Let's do it. Somebody out there listening, if you can write a quick, really heavy-ass guitar riff and scream George Hates Metal over it, we'll love you. We'll play on every episode.
I could do it. I just don't have any of the recording equipment to get it from amplifier to usable format.
That's right. I can bring my H6 over. We can record it on there. Okay.
Really?
Keeping it in the family, man.
All right.
All right. So getting to it now, what did you bring to the table this week, Dave?
So this is the kind of shit I've been listening to kind of off and on over the past couple weeks, which is this like really kind of underground atmospheric black metal stuff. The particular band that we played was Batushka. The album is Liturgia. Their name is...
I'm sorry, what was that?
What's that?
Mamushka.
Batushka.
Batushka.
Mamushka, like from Adam's Family.
It's B-A-T-U-S-H-K-A. Batushka.
Yeah, I think, if I'm not mistaken, the name is Russian... But I think they're from Poland, but I'm not entirely sure about that. I'm actually trying to figure that out. But yeah, they have this whole, like, they perform in these, like, elaborate robes and masks and things. And it's all, they, you know, have incense censers and bells and they chant. But it's also this, like, crazy black metal shit. So it's like... Eastern Orthodox style artwork and chanting with black metal. It's pretty rad.
So according to Encyclopedia Metallum, here's their information. The identities of the members are unknown, but it is known that they are from well-known bands. Their live lineup contains 8 members. The band's Cyrillic name Batushka means father, used to address a priest. The band name should be pronounced as Batushka. Despite their imagery, they are not a Christian band.
I was able to figure that out.
So it's like ghost of the black metal world.
They're totally a Christian band. I think everybody should listen to them. You should play it in churches. So I guess this is my part where I talk about the show or the song that I listen to.
Yeah, so after Dave brought us to attention, we listened to them on Spotify, which they're...
Liturgia.
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 Every, I guess, Yaktenia is the name of the songs, and there are 9? Yeah, 8? Up to 8?
Yeah.
And we listened to song 2.
We listened to Yaktenia number 2.
Number 2. So I'm going to call it song 2.
Song 2, okay. We'll go with that.
Like Blur, song 2.
So, you're not a black metal aficionado like Dave is, and I'm not as much as he is, definitely. So you was your first opinion of it?
First opinions, it sounded okay. Like, the drummer was excellent, I think. I'm not really into that whole guttural cat dying scream.
It really wasn't guttural, but it's more high-pitched, you know.
Yeah, whatever. The dying cat sound in the background's horrible. But other than that, I think they're a pretty solid band. Like, the music's okay. I didn't hate it. It reminded me a little bit of, like, that scene in Cradle of Filth, or in Ace Ventura when he sees Cradle of Filth.
Cannibal Corpse.
Yeah, or Cannibal Corpse, sorry. There you go. Cannibal Corpse. Yes. That's what it reminds me of a little bit.
And
but that just goes to show you how much I know about
And this
black
band's
metal.
A little bit different. They, like you said, they incorporate a lot of chanting, like Gregorian chant style sounds into their music, which
is
pretty cool.
Yeah, I felt very blessed at the end of the song.
Did you feel blessed?
I felt blessed with the blood of Satan.
Maybe Ghost should bring these guys on tour.
That would be amazing. I would love to see that show. That's such an entirely different kind of music, but theatrically and thematically, they would go together very well, I think.
I think so. They're all hidden under, you know, costumes, and you don't know who they really are.
They should call it the hidden show. That's what they should call it.
It's like Brujeria of the death metal world. It's like a band that talks crap about, you know, immigration, and they're all pretending to be Mexican, but they're not a Mexican. There's some British guys, because there's some guys from Napalm Death in that band.
I did not know that. I don't listen to Brujeria, though, so I've not really paid them a whole lot of attention, but I did not know that.
One of the guitar players is the lead singer, the main guy from Carcass.
Okay. Well,
yeah.
Live and learn. So
yeah, and Shane Embry is in that band, because every picture they take of that band, even though he's wearing something to cover his face, you still know it's his hair. He has that big poofy hair, like a big mushroom.
Mm-hmm.
He has a mushroom head.
He has a mushroom hair. Yeah, he really does.
Kind of like what's his face from Metalocalypse.
Yes. Yeah.
Very much so. Like
quite like that.
Yeah. Exactly like that. Really. So. Here's the big
murder
question.
Face,
would you listen
murder
to this more?
Face, murder face. What?
Would you listen to this again?
You know, if it came up where I couldn't shuffle anymore because I don't pay for Spotify anymore and I'm stuck listening to it, I wouldn't like immediately jump to turn it off. But will I like seek it out? Probably not, no. Or if
it's
I was
music
stuck
to
in,
scare your girlfriend with.
Or if I was, or yeah, it's definitely music to like, hey, let me show you how fucking creepy I am. Let me strap you in my car and make you listen to this. It's
if
definitely
you bang your head to it.
Yeah. And the rest of the person next to you is like, what the fuck?
I feel like...
So how did you discover these guys, Dave?
I feel like all of this is... I'm not quite sure what to make of it, because none of the way that George has reacted to this is at all what I was expecting. So
well, you know what just happened this week, so we might be living in an alternate universe now.
Well, that's true.
We're in the Back to the Future universe.
But,
and we're in the Back to the Future verse.
I'm not sure what to make of it. He's been a lot more positive on it than I had anticipated by a great
deal. He was ready to defend it very quickly.
And I can only imagine that means that we're wearing him down, Carrie.
So. I think so.
No, it's just that the only thing I didn't like was the cat screaming dude.
That's very typical of the style of black metal, though.
Yeah.
That's one of the...
That's all that song
I'm on,
needed to take out. If they
I'm
took
sort of
that
on
shit
board
out...
With you, that's one of the reasons I don't like a lot of like super raw black metal.
Yeah, if they took that shit out, they would actually be a pretty decent song.
You had, were you starting to ask where I came across these guys?
Yeah, where did you come across these guys?
So in there's hell. Actually a... when you told me they were on Spotify, I was surprised. I wasn't aware that they were on there. I actually found them on... I think I found them on a YouTube channel that's just called Atmospheric Black Metal, and all they do is find these obscure, a lot of them unsigned or at the very least, you know, very small distribution, small record labels, a lot of self-published stuff, that kind of thing. But that's all this channel is.
So it's like legit underground.
So, and I've been listening to. Some of that stuff on there off and on. Some of it's stuff that some of it a little bit better known. Things that I had been intending to check out for a long time. Stuff like Migla, another Polish band. They're excellent.
What'd you
Migla?
Say?
What band?
Oh, I thought you said something else, bro.
No, I did not.
So,
but
it is a good thing that these guys were on Spotify, because according to the website on Encyclopedia Metallum, and if you... You're a metalhead and you want to know about any band ever, you need to go there, metal-archives.com. There's only 200 copies of this album were released on CD. Limited edition wooden box version.
Wow. Yeah. I bet you that wooden box is made out of a coffin.
Yeah, it's a coffin for your CD, exactly.
You know, I'm listed in Encyclopedia Metallum.
Are you really?
I am, actually.
Because
if I just search for you right now, I would find you.
You know what? I don't know. I'm about to find out.
We're going to play this game together. No?
Let's see.
You got to look under Brutal Dave.
Yeah. I didn't look under Brutal Dave. I'm sorry. That's where it is. I'm looking under band.
Yeah.
Would it be the name of your band? And not your name, right?
That's what I'm trying to figure out, if you can look up by individual. I don't think it'll let you do that.
Yeah, it looks like it's band only, and then you have to find your name. So what's the name of your band? Oh, wait a minute. Oh, hold on. There's a drop-down menu. Oh, there you are. next to search, there's a drop-down menu. Just change that to artist and put in your last name, Armor. And you play in a band called Benevolence.
Yes, I
was. Wow, so our co-host is on this very here website. They should be our sponsor now.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure they really sponsor a lot of people.
That means I'm totally legit, right? So
You're legit now.
You've made it into the metal scene, sir.
The status of your band is on hold. Is that true?
I frankly don't know what the hell they're doing anymore. So I haven't talked to any of those guys in quite some time. So
I'm going to look up past members, and there mm-hmm. you are. Guitars and vocals.
There's a
We got a celebrity.
There's
in our
somebody else in the. There's somebody missing. Actually, there's a bunch of people missing from the past lineup. People.
Yeah.
I imagine there's some reasons for that.
Under your related links, you still have your MySpace account.
That should tell you about what the status of the band is.
It's still available, too. Dude, I have not been to a MySpace page.
It just goes to an empty MySpace page.
Holy crap.
I don't think MySpace exists anymore.
I don't know. I guess it looks like it's just for music now.
So anyway, there you go. George Hates Metal. That was a segment.
George Hates Metal led to us finding Dave on the Encyclopedia Metallum website. That's pretty cool.
The more you know.
That's pretty brutal.
We need a guitar riff that goes, and the more you know, or something like that.
Exactly right. All right, well, there's George Hates Metal for this week, and let's get into some house cleaning and wrap this puppy up.
All right.
So that brings us to the end of this episode. Every week, apparently, we're part of the Houston Nerdcasting Collective, and they pose this question. We need to do a better job of actually
participating
in it, because we haven't been recently, and I apologize. But
so we're going to do it right
now.
We're
going to start doing it fresh. This is a fresh new start.
So. Yeah, since we got a new segment show, it makes sense. And we're going to call this Question of the Week.
There you go. So the election just happened. We're not going to get talking about that, but here's the question that they posed, our friend over at the Houston Nerdcasting Collective, which we are a part of. Who would you put in the Oval Office? But here's the question. Here's the caveat. They have to be a serial character, serial mascot.
So just to rephrase,
mm-hmm.
who would we put in the Oval Office?
Who would we vote as president?
They have to be your serial character.
That's right. Not a serial killer, but a character. A
serial box character.
Correct.
So if we were going down the aisle, looking at the cereals.
Mm-hmm. Very correct.
Okay. Do you want to go first? Or you want me to go?
I'll let you go first.
Okay.
You
make sense to everybody. It's Tony the Tiger. He's a motivational speaker. Going to make America great!
God.
It's very good. But you have to admit...
Tony the Tiger for like 30-something years.
What's
he
this?
Has Disney ties.
Stupid question.
Dave, did you know this? The one of the characters.
Oh, yeah.
Ravenscroft.
Ravenscroft. God, that's a metal name.
Ravenscroft. He was the voice of Tony the Tiger from like 1950-something or 60-something.
Okay, so what is his tie to Disney?
He's the ghost host in Haunted Mansion.
No shit.
No, he's not.
Yeah, you're right.
Wait, what?
He's not.
Paul Frees is the ghost host.
That's true.
So who the fuck is this Ravenscroft guy?
Thurl Ravenscroft.
He's one
Thurl
of the singing busts.
Ravenscroft
bust.
Was one of the singing busts, yeah. That's correct.
But he also had the voices in Pirates of the Caribbean, too.
So I think Paul Frees was also your Tony the Tiger as well. I think.
Because they're great!
No, Tony the Tiger, Dallas McKennon, Cyril Ravenscroft from 1953 to 2004, Lee Marshall, and then now Jim Cummings, starting this year.
Okay.
At least he gives you a warning.
Jim Cummings is everywhere.
Jim Cummings is everywhere. keeping it professional.
All right, so
Dave, who you got?
There we go. That's my answer. Was Tony the Tiger?
I'm gonna go with Lucky the Leprechaun.
Oh,
to me, Lucky Charms.
It's about time we need to have
some international appeal.
We need to have a pagan in the White House.
Oh, you know, I see what you
for diversity's sake.
Yeah, but he's gonna be like shiesty and stealing everybody's shit and never sharing anything. Hey, me love. Bye, four leaf clover.
I guess.
All right. I think I'm going to go. You can count the votes.
Hey, you can count on me, is what he's going to say.
That's better than Count Cocula, so.
Oh, Jesus. Well, I'm pretty sure that's what people are going to call him if he ran.
So there you go. There's the question of the week from the Houston Nerdcasting Collective.
Furthermore, we want to know, who would you pick?
That's
and
right.
Let us know in our comments on all our Facebook, social medias, Twitter, Instagrams.
All those places
where you could find us at Metal Geeks.
At Metal Geeks on all of them. The Twitters and the Instagrams and the Facebooks. You can also find us as well at MetalGeeks.net. Find us on iTunes, subscribe to us there, give us reviews. This really helps bring the word of the show out to more people. The more people that know about us, the better it is. Give us reviews, all that good stuff. You
totally.
Know the drill.
And you tell us what you think of the show. If you like it, you love it. Hopefully you love it.
You hate George.
Nobody hates me because I'm everyone's favorite.
So you can also find us on some of our affiliate website at Houston Nerdcasting Collective, Altness.com, Nerdbong, and the ESO Podcast Network.
Woo!
What about you, Dave? Where can people find you now?
You can find me at Red Viking Dave on Instagram and Twitter. You can also find my project Geekazoid. You can find us at I Love Geekazoid on all of the things. We're going to be at the Houston Mini Maker Fair this weekend.
Oh, cool.
At the George R. Brown, and we will be at Pop Shop Houston on Thanksgiving weekend.
So Speak No Evil got funded. Thank you, everyone who pledged. We love you.
Actually, I got to pay you now. Fuck.
That's right. You do have to pay me now. Also, if you want to learn more, just go to greybearcomics.com. And issue one's on there. You can purchase it now. There's also a preview on there. And we're on all the social medias. Gray Bear Comics is G-R-A-Y. And if you happen to be at Seguin for Black Forest's comic book shop reopening, we will be there from noon to 5 this weekend. Come by, say hello, check out our comic, pick it up if you can. And that's about it.
Check out tweakedaudio.com. Metal Geek, 33% off your entire order, free shipping, and a lifetime guarantee.
Woohoo!
So, that was a very strange episode.
Oh, I see what you did there.
Yeah, I think it's time to wrap it up.
Yeah, put a bow on that shit. Or we know what we need to do is get our sling ring and open a portal and toss that shit back out into the universe.
Throw it into a different dimension and we're done. Don't have to worry about it anymore.
And like they say,
keep it metal.
Keep it strange.
And keep it geeky.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Thanks, guys.
Hey, Geekazoids. Thanks for listening to another fine podcast brought to you by MSR Productions. All rights reserved, blah, 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 blah. For reviews, archives of our podcasts, and all your other metal geekery needs, please visit metalgeeks.net. Keep it geeky. Keep it metal.